Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Sukkah Daf Yud Gimel. We begin five lines from the top of the Amud. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Gidla Marav, Hai Apkusa de Dikla. Apkusa de Dikla, says Rashi's Moitzo HaDekla, clusters of branches of reeds which grow out at the bottom, from the bottom of the palm tree. Misachachin behu, they can be used for schach. Although we learned yesterday that we try to avoid bundles, chavilos of kash, of etzim, and zrodim, we learned in the Mishnah apostle for schach, because of gzeras oitzer. You see, although this particular time, the schach is kasher, because he placed it on his sukkah to provide shade, l'shem tzel, but it may lead to a situation where he may actually sit under bundles which were not placed to provide shade. Rather, l'shem oitzer. What does that mean? It was common practice in those days to take bundles of branches, of fresh reeds, and lay it out to dry for oitzer. Rashi says oitzer means for storage. It would be stored for later use, as fuel, as animal feed. In which case, that bundle, that material sitting on your sukkah, was not positioned there l'shem tzel. In which case, it's aser, it's pasal min ha-Torah. So Chacham said, keep away from all types of bundles, even legitimate schach, which is going to be placed on your sukkah l'shem tzel. If it's in bundle form, you may not use it, because it may lead to a situation where that bundle was placed for the sake of yibush, for drying, for storing, in which case, it's not kosher for sukkah. Still and all, says the Gemara, and as the Mefarshim explain, this concept of bundles is only when it's reminiscent, when it's similar to those bundles which would be laid out to dry. Then we're concerned, well, if you're going to use schach in that manner, you may actually go ahead and use bundles which are not placed up to l'shem schach. But if it doesn't really resemble those storage bundles, then there's no concern, such as in this case, with the apkusa de dikla, which is just a cluster of a naturally occurring cluster of branches and reeds. It's not really considered a bundle within the context of our discussion. Says the Gemara, Afagav da'agidi, even though they're bundled together, they're clustered together, there's no concern. It wasn't actually tied together by somebody. Eged b'dei shamayim l'shmei eged. A naturally occurring bundle or cluster is not considered a cluster. It's not considered an eged. That's not a bundle that we're speaking about. It doesn't really resemble bundles placed atop your sukkah for storage purposes. Says the Gemara, another chiddush. You see, on the bottom, they will cluster together. They come together as one, but on top, these branches, these reeds, would spread apart. So afagav the hadar ogidlu, although he comes back and he ties the top together, this time he tied it manually, there's no concern, because igeid b'chad, tying together something which is really one and the same unit, because they're really attached on bottom, lo yishmei eged, that's not considered an eged, it's not considered a bundle, which is only when you take separate entities, reeds, branches, and you tie them together as one. Omar of Chizda Maravina, another case. Bar Shila, Hani Dukri Dekani. These clusters of branches, of kanim, of reeds, of bamboos, a similar situation. So they come out as a cluster. Masachach and Behu, you can use them Masachach. Afagav Da'agidi, although they're bundled together, in which case it would appear like a chavila. No, Afagav Da'agidi Ninu. Eged b'dei shemayim l'shmei eged. Since it's a natural cluster, that's okay. Afagav d'hadar agad luhu. Even though he goes back and he ties the tops together, once again, igeid b'chad l'shmei igeid. Tying together something which is really one and the same entity, l'shmei eged, that's not what we call an eged. It's not similar to the storage bundles. Tani nami hachu, we have a riot from a brisa to this effect. Kon m'dekronin, you can use kanim, you can use the kronim, these stick, these branches, you can use them, says the Gemara. Kanim, pshita, Of course you can use bamboos and reeds. Why not? Rather, says the Braisa, says the Gemara, the Braisa meant Emo, Konam Shadokronim Sachin Behen. You can use reeds which grow out in this manner, like Dukronim, or she says a Decker, it's like some sort of fork, some sort of pitchfork. So they come out pointed like a pitchfork, but since on the bottom they're considered one, they're clustered together, although on the bottom they're clustered together, there's no concern because it's a natural cluster. V'amrav chizda amaravina barshila. So another halacha from the same Adam Omar. Hani mirirasa da'agma. What about using, this is for morar on Pesach, using morar, lettuce, which is called mirirasa da'agma. Chazeres shel agam, Rashi says. It grows in the swamp. So it's not plain morar. It has another name to it. Mirirasa da'agma. Adam Pesach. It can be used on Pesach. Although it's not just plain murr, it has another nickname to it, that's okay. Meisvei, says the Gemara. We have a kash on this. Eizav, v'li eizav yavan. The eizav grass, meant to be used for the paraduma, has to be pure eizav. The original brand. V'li eizav yavan. It can't be the Greek eizav. V'li eizav kuchli. It's another type. V'li eizav midbari. V'li eizav roimi. V'li eizav shiyesh l'shem livoi. You can use any Eizav which has an additional title to it. You have to use the original brand. Apparently by Murr as well, says the Gemara. If it's Murr Shel Agam, that's not pure Murr. It's another variety. Amar Abaye. There's a big difference. Kol Shenishtanish Shmoy Koyde Matan Torah. Whenever you have something which has been given that other name already before Matan Torah. Uba Sotora Vikpida Olav. And the Torah came and said, I want Eizav. Apparently, the Torah is being particular and saying, I want Eizav pure. Not Eizav Yevani, not Eizav Kuchli, which were around at that time. Biyadua, it's pretty clear that the Torah is being makbid on the pure Eizav, as opposed to the other ones, Shiyesh L'Hashem Livui. So that explains the halacha by Eizav. Bahani, as opposed to in the case of the Murr the Agma, Loi Nishtanu Shmayu, Koidem Matan Torah. They haven't gotten their name before Matan Torah. In which case, when the Torah says Murr, it was all inclusive. Even the Murr the Agam, despite the fact that later on they added the title Agam to it, that descriptive title, doesn't matter because at the time of Matan Torah, it was called Murr, and when the Torah said Murr, it included that as well. And so as opposed to these, which were not nishtane shema yukoyde matatera klal. That's one pshat. Rava Amar. Rava says a different teretz. Hani mirarisa stoma shmayu. The truth is that the murr shel agam, the murr of the swamp, is really stam murr. In reality, it's not really a different variety. It's the Gemara figure that mirarisa the agma is a different type. Says Rav, no, it's actually the same thing. V'ay dekari lehu mirarisa the agma. Its name doesn't reflect the fact that it's a different variety. It doesn't represent a different variety. Why then did they call it mirarisa the agma? V'ay dekari lehu mirarisa the agma, because of its location where it grows, mishum de mishtakach ba'agma, because it grows in the agam. So there's no reason why not to use it for murder. It's one and the same type, one and the same variety. Tosi says it seems that Abai is not really being chaylik on Rava, that if indeed it's the same type, there's no reason to disqualify it. Abai was simply presenting another formula when we do exclude, when we don't exclude. But in this case, where it's really the same thing, there's no reason to exclude it, it's because it happens to be called Murr Da'agma. Getting back to bundles, Amar Rav Chisda. How many are in the bundle for it to be considered a bundle, Rashi learns, a bundle regarding Agudas Eizav? So in order to sprinkle the Paraduma, you have to have a bundle of grass. Rashi says, likewise regarding Sukkah, what's considered a Chavila, a bundle regarding Schach? How many units are in the bundle? Amar Chizda, Igeid Bechad. You just take one unit and sort of tie it. Loy Shmei Agad. That's not called a bundle. It's tied in itself. Shalosh Shmei Agad. If you have three in a bundle, that's already considered a bundle. So one not, three yes. Shnayim? What if you have only two in the bundle? That's somewhere in between. Machlekes, Rav Yosef, Rabbanon. So it's Machlekes with Tanoim, whether it's considered a bundle, this not. Mitzvahs Ezev. What is the ideal way to be Mekayim in the mitzvah of Ezev? Shloisha Klachim. You have to take three separate plants. I said three roots, meaning three independent plants of the Ezev grass. Ubehen. Shloisha Gevoilim. For a total of three stalks, meaning each plant has one stalk of Ezev. So three together is considered your Agudas Ezev. Rabbi Yossi Aimer, Mitzvahs Ezev, Shloisha Gevoilim. The mitzvah is to have three to start off. Ushiyarav Shnayim. But if one drops out in the middle, that's okay. Shirayim of two is enough, as long as you start with three. V'gardum of kol shu. This is even a greater chiddush. Even when they're rubbed out and worn out, as long as you have some ezev remaining behind, so you have three little tips, that's okay. So Tanakhama speaks about three. Rabbeisi speaks about a mitzvah to have three, but shirayim, two is enough. Kasalka daitin. Now, who presented this Mishnah? It was Rav Chisda. That when it comes to two in a bundle, we have Machlokes, Rabbi Yosef Rabban. Now, who says what? Kasalka Daitin, the Gemara figured. The Rav Chisda had this in mind. Midish Yor of Shnaim, the fact that Rabbi Yosef allows Shiraim to be two, apparently two is enough for a bundle, Tchilase Nam Shnaim. You could even start off with two. That's the Gemara's assumption. When Rabbi Yosi speaks about three, that's because that's the ideal way of doing it. Chatchila three, that's a real bundle, but you can get away with two, whether you're starting with two or ending with two. Rabbi Yosi shleisha lemitzvah. The fact that Rabbi Yosi says three is only a mitzvah, l'rabbanon shleisha l'akiv. Otherwise, what's the machlokes? There's a machlokes here, right? If Rabbi Yosi says you really only need two. Two is ma'akev and three is a mitzvah. Apparently the rabbanon who disagree, they're arguing about something, apparently they hold three is not just lichat chila, not just a mitzvah, it is ma'akev. It is required. And that's apparently what Rav Chisda had in mind. When he said two in a bundle is contingent upon Rabbi Yosi and the rabbanon. So according to Rabbi Yosi, it's okay. According to Rabbanon, it's not. Says the Gemara. V'atanya, that can't be. Take a look at the next price. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Ezev Tchila, Se Shnayim, Ushiyarav Echad Pasul. If you begin with a Ezev that only has two, and then one gets dropped out, it's Pasul. V'einoi Kasher, Acheh Tchila, Se Shlesha, Ushiyarav Shnayim. The only way it's Kasher is if you begin with three in that bundle. So then even if one drops out in the middle, once you started with three, two is considered enough, a shirayim of three, and you're okay. It's pretty clear that Rabbi Yosi requires three. It's me'akev b'di'evet. So how can you say that Rabbi Yosi allows just two? Says the Gemara, Eifach, let's switch around the names. The Rabbi Yosi shlesha la'akev, according to Rabbi Yosi, three is absolutely necessary to make an agudas eziv. The Rabbanon shlesha la'mitzvah, according to them, only two is really absolutely necessary. Three is only the ideal, the optimum. It's the mitzvah. So the bottom line is like this. Rav Chisda tells us, an aguda of three is certainly okay. One is not. Two, according to Rabbanon, is okay. According to Rabbi Yosi, unless it's three, it's not considered an aguda. So that's regarding the initial bundle. What about shirayim? If one falls out after it's bundled, so then we drop down one. According to Rabbi Yosi, you start with three, you can end off with two. According to the Rabbanon, although you need to start with two, but even if one happens to fall out, the shirayim of Echad is fine. Asks Tosfos, here we see that three is considered an aguda, whereas in Maseches Avos, Mishnah tells us you need five for an aguda. Mishnah is speaking about somebody sitting and learning with 10 people, with 5 people around him. That's also considered, it also deserves the shechina, because it says, v'aguda soy el eretz yisoda, an aguda is 5. Here we learn, even 3 is an aguda. So Tanya says there is different, because we're speaking about Hashem creating the world, and Hashem's hand created the world. U'biyad yesh bo chamesh etzbois, a hand has 5 fingers. So in that context, aguda means 5, whereas generally speaking, whether it's by Ezoif, whether by Rashi learns, by the Chavilois, the bundles of Schach, 3 is already considered, 3 is a crowd. Therefore, that's considered an Aguda. Interesting, Tosis brings, this is back on Daf Yud Beis, a Yerushalmi that learns that the Chavila by Schach is only a concern if it has at least 25 Kanim in it. So it needs to be a bundle of 25. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch, he passes like that Yerushalmi. There's no concern of Chavilei Schach unless it has at least 25 units within it. And the Svar is because Gzeres Oitzer is only something which resembles a bundle, which will be commonly played out to dry into stores, so that's only if it's a significantly sized bundle, but otherwise there's no concern. Continues the Gemara. Vatanya, in fact, will bring a raya from a brisa that our approach is correct. Which approach? That the Rabbanim actually hold that you only need to start with 2, and then if one drops out, the shirayim of 1 is enough. But the brisa says, Eizoiv shchetchilo seishnayim ushiyarev echad kosher. If an Eizoiv begins, starts out with 2 in the bundle, and ends up only with 1, that's fine. Vein epasol ad shehei tchilasoi v'shiyarav echad. Only times it's pasol is if it begins or ends with 1. 1 second, says the Gemara. Shiyarav echad pasol? Do you mean to say if you ended up only with 1, it's pasol? Ha'amris shiyarav echad kasher. You just told me otherwise. If you end with 1, that's okay. El ema, rather the b'risa means, ad shehei tchilasoi kishiyarav echad. Only time it's a concern is if the tchila, the initiation of this bundle, is with only 1 unit, which is actually the same number that is allowed by shirayim. Then it's no good, because you have to start with something significant. Shirayim, that's a remnant of the original, but you have to start off on the right foot. So the only time it's possible is if tchilasai, if the initiation is with the number 1, kishiyorav, like the allowable number by the shirayim, which is echad. In any case, we prove from here that the Rabbanon hold that you only need to start with 2 and end off with 1. So that's a raya that when the Rabbanon is speaking about 3, it's only the mitzvah, but li'akev it's only 2 at the starting point. And as far as shirayim, you go down 2 to 1. Whereas Rabbi Yossi holds, you have to start off with 3 and you can end off with 2. Darash Mareimar, Hani Isuraisa de Surah. What about these bundles of kanim, of reeds, which were bundled together simply for convenience, for count? It's like a bundle of 25 kanim, which would allow the customer just to pick it up and leave instead of having to count them individually. So the point of binding these kanim together was not for the sake of storing them as such, drying them as such. It was just for a customer convenience. In which case, Rashi says they would take it home and untie it. When they would have to lay it out to dry, perhaps it was very moist, and that was a derech there, to untie it when they got home. It wasn't tied together for the long term. Hani is suraisa, these bundles which were sold in surah, this surah. Mesachin bu, they can be used for schach, afagav de agdan, even though they're tied together. L'minyana ba'amu de agdan. Just tied together for their account, like a dozen roses. Bring it home, you take it apart. It's not meant to stay that way. Therefore, there's no gzeiras oitza. Amra baba, hani tsrifa de urbani. What about these shacks? These hunter's shacks made with urbani, aravais. So there were these domes, domed shacks made of aravais, and The way it worked is that on top, the tips were tied together. That would keep it in place. And on the bottom as well, the bottom of this round dome-shaped shack, all the way along the around the perimeter on bottom, there was some sort of light weave which would actually keep it in place as well. So the main fastener was on top. Then on the bottom, along the perimeter, there would be some braiding together as well. Says Rav Abba, Hani Tzrifa de Urbani. These Urbani shacks, these shacks made of Arabis, Kiven Shehutra, Roshe Madanim Shelhen. Once the Roshe Madan, referring to the knots on top, were untied, so it was unraveled on top, Ksher, now they can be used. For Schach, it's no longer considered a bundle. V'agidim itatoy, says the Gemara. What do you mean? It's still bound together on bottom. Why isn't it considered a bundle? Amar Papa de Sharilu, he's speaking that he untied the bottom as well. Rafuna ve Yeshua Amar, Afilu Teimam de Sharilu. You know what? Even if he didn't untie the bottom, there's no concern. Kol Eged she'ene asur l'tataloi, any bundle which cannot be transported in that manner, because in this case, once you start moving it around, it just falls apart and collapses. It's not really firmly tied on the bottom; it's just slightly braided. Loishmir Eged, that's not called a true Eged. And again, the point is, it doesn't resemble, doesn't compare to the bundles which were placed on the rooftops for drying, for storing. In which case, there's no concern of gzeiras oitzer. So, conclusion: we spoke about ein masachichem b'chavilois because it might lead to a case where he'll use bundles which were placed atop his sukkah for other purposes, purposes of drying and storing. What's considered a chavila, an eged, a bundle, which has this concern? Only if it was bundled b'day adam manually, as opposed to a naturally occurring bundle. Only a bundle which contains several units within it, according to Rashi at least 3, according to Tosis 25. It needs to be bundled together for the sake of long-term storage, as opposed to just for temporary convenience. And as we just learned, it needs to be an eged that can sustain tiltal transporting. Amar Rav Abba Amar Shmuel, Yirakeh she'amru chachamim adam yoytze behen. Yidei chavasei bepesach. All those vegetables, those leaves, lettuce, etc., which are allowed to be used for maror on Pesach, so it's considered roi la'achila, mevina satuma. Suppose they are being used as an oil, as an overhang over tuma. They're considered an oil, and they spread the tuma throughout the entire roofed area. Right? So if the lettuce leaf is hovering over something which is tummy, that tumah spreads throughout the entire area as metami, anything else that's there in that oil. Ve'ein choytisin v'fnei tumah, but they don't pose a barrier. They don't stop the tumah from spreading upward. Why? The Gemara soon will explain. We don't give it a din of oil. Only the chumrah, but not the kula. Typically an oil would spread the tumah underneath it, but would stop it in its tracks, prevent it from spreading beyond the oil. These thin, flimsy leaves are not really regarded as a true barrier, the true roof. So the chumrah, yes, they spread the tumah throughout the area, but they don't block the tumah from continuing upward. Upoislin besukah mishum aver. Oh, this pertains to us. So all these vegetables, all these leaves, are considered schach pasal because it's something which is theoretically mekabel tumah. It's food. And schach pasal is pasal when it has four tefachim. Right, you have four tefachim of invalid schach in your sukkah. Then it's pasal. At least underneath that that schach, right? But here, it says the Gemara, mu machmer. We only allow less than three tefachim. Once it's three tefachim, then you have a concern. Why? We treat it like airspace. And once you get to three tefachim, you're past the loved. Right? The Shir Lovet is only up until three. So when you have airspace, empty space in your schach, up till three is Lovet. It's always closed off, but three and up is past Lovet. When we speak about these vegetables, we consider them like airspace, in which case we'll machmer, that once it's three tefachim and up, you have a concern. Why? Why is it airspace? You have leaves. Says the Gemara, those leaves are not really durable. They're not going to last too long. My time, why don't we treat them like everything else? Since when they dry up, they just brittle, they disintegrate, and they fall apart. We treat them as though they're non-existent. So, with regards to oil, we say, while they're here, this overhang presents as an oil. But, not lakula, meaning the tumah can continue. Break right through the oil. They don't prevent it from spreading further because they're not a significant oil. It's something which is not going to last. And likewise regarding sukkah. Although they have substance, but that's only currently. They're roi for maror. It's roi lachila. Tesis brings that maror is only something which is roi lachila. Right? So they have substance, they have body, but since they're not something that are going to be long-term, not going to last, they're going to dry up and disintegrate, we treat them l'chumra like aver, and unless it's less than 3 tefachim, there's a concern. V'omar b'abba omar afhuno. Ha'boitzer l'gas ein lo yodis. If one harvests his grapes together with the branches on the grapes hanging on the branches, the clusters of grapes, those clusters, those branches holding the clusters don't have a din of yad. Yad means a handle, an access point. The halacha is just as the fruit itself is mekabel tumah, the yad itself, the handle of that fruit, the inedible portion, the branch next to the fruit, be it the branches of the vine, be it the stalks of your kernels, they're meant to be used as handlers of that fruit. It's a yad. It gives you access to the food. And therefore, if tumah touches even that stalk, which is next to the food becomes tummy. Says of Huna that the concept of yadis is only if it's serving a function, if it's helping, if it's assisting, if you're using it to handle the food. But in this case, where he's baitel a gas, he's harvesting his grapes for the gas, for the wine press. He doesn't want those branches in there. Actually, they ruin it. They absorb wine. So in which case, the yadis are no longer serving a purpose. They're not functioning together with the grapes. They're not considered yadis, and they're no longer mekabel tumah. So that's Rabbi Abba, the name of Rav Huna. Rav Menashe bar Gada Amar Rav Huna. He has even a greater chiddush. Hakoytel aschach in liyodis. If one harvests grain, for instance, in order to use the stalks for schach, says Rav Nashia, since he doesn't really care about the food portion of that stalk, the kernels are mekabel tumah, not really roi for schach. In which case we say the stalks are not really serving the kernels; they're not serving a common function, and therefore, these stalks are not considered a dover, that's mekabel tumah, and the entire stalk, even the portion next to the kernel, which would generally be considered a yad, in this case, since his intent is to use the entire stalk for the sake of schach, he's not reckoning with the food portion. The stalk is no longer serving the kernel. It's entire inedible. The entire stalk is considered kasher schach. So you had Rabbi Abba, spoke about boitzer lagas, harvesting for the sake of pressing. And we have Rav Menashe speaking about koitzer l'schach, harvesting for the sake of schach. Says the Gemara, Mada Amar koitzer. The Shita, Rav Menashe, who said that koitzer l'schach loses its yad status, Kolshkin boitzer, of course, by boitzer. And he's harvesting for the sake of pressing those grapes. Certainly the yad is not considered a mekabel tumah, d'lo nichalei. He doesn't want those stalks. He doesn't want those branches. Because it's going to absorb his wine. So in that case, certainly, the yad has no significance. Mandam or Boitza, however, the first shit, Rabbi Abba spoke about harvesting to the wine press. Mandam or Boitza, shen liyadis. Aval koitza, yesh liyadis. He disagrees with the second shit. Only by Boitza does it lose its yad status because it's actually getting in his way. He doesn't want to connect it to his grapes. Whereas by Koitel Eschach, there it's different. the yad is still considered serving. It's still considered connected, related to the food, in which case the yad is still mechabal tuma. Why? Because he wants the kernel portion to remain intact and connected to his stalks. You know why? That his stalks wouldn't just fly away with the wind. So the kernel is actually weighing it down like a paperweight. Therefore, the yad and the kernel are still one and the same. They're connected to each other, and the yad is still going to be mekabel tumah. To conclusion, we have two similar examples, but we have machlekes. When he's boitzer lagas, he's harvesting to press that wine. All agree the branches are not really there. They're not really something to be reckoned with, because they're not serving the grapes. They're getting in his way. And therefore, they don't have a din of yad. That's the kuliyam. Regarding koytzel aschach, we have machlekes. One shita says that since he doesn't really want the edible portion, which is not kosher for schach, so the yad isn't really serving a purpose. He doesn't need the fruit. So the yad is no longer considered a yad, and the entire inedible portion of his schach is kosher. Whereas the other shita maintained that even when it comes to stalks or branches containing food used for schach, he still wants the fruit there to keep the branches and stalks intact. In which case, the connection, the relationship between stalk and kernel are still there, still continues. And the stalk is considered a yad to the edible portion. What's the nafkamina? That the chelik near the kernel, being that it's a yad and is mekabel tumah, is not kashav aschach. Says more name of Rav Menashe bar Gada Tanoi. Perhaps this shita of Rav Menashe, he was the second shita, he held that koytel aschach no longer has a din of yad, is actually dependent on a machlekes tanoi. The sandia seichet einim, branches of a fig tree, ubehen teinim, with some figs intact, parchilin, vine branches, ubehen anovim, with some grapes intact, kashen, stalks, ubehen shibbalin, with some kernels there, machbedeis, palm branches, ubehen tamarim, with some dates there, kulan, in all these cases, im psoilis meruba la'oichlin, ksheru. There's more inedible than edible, then the edible portion is batal b'roiv, and you can use it for schach. Vim lav psula, but otherwise it's pasul. Meaning, the inedible portion has to be greater than the actual edible portion. That's it. We don't have to worry about yodis. Any inedible is kasha v'schach, even the portion next to the kernel itself. Apparently, a Tanakama holds. Once he harvested it for the sake of schach, he doesn't need the edible portion. He doesn't need the kernel. He doesn't need the fruit. So there's no yad. The entire inedible is kasha v'schach. Acher ma'irim, no. There's still something called yad. So the portion next to the edible is considered a handle, an access point to the fruit, to the kernel, in which case that's mekabel tumah, and it's not kasher v'schach. The only way it's kasher is if you overwhelm the fruit and his yad. You need more inedible than both together. Acherim ayrim, ad shehu kashen merubin al hayodes ve'al ha'ochlin. The only way it's kasher is if the kashen, if the stalks are greater, are more plentiful than both, than the yodais and the oichon. My lavoka miflik, apparently this is the machloikas. The ma'ar sovar yeshlin yodais. Acherim hold. Even if he's using it for schach, the fact is he wants that fruit, he wants that kernel there to keep the stalk, to keep it in place. So this type of function, this type of use is still reckoned with, in which case the yad is still there, it's still connected to the fruit, and it's still considered an access point and a handle to that fruit. Umar sovar einlin yodis. What does the Tanakhama maintains? Since he harvested for the sake of schach, in which case he doesn't really want the fruit. It's not kosher for schach. So he sort of severed that connection, that relationship between fruit and yodis. The stalk is no longer serving that fruit. It's no longer really being connected to it. Because they're not serving a common function and a common purpose. Therefore, there's no such a concept of yadis in this case, and the entire inedible portion is kasha v'schach. Apparently, he holds that even though he's he's using it as schach, and he wants the fruit there as a to weigh it down, as we said. But that type of use is just residual. That's not an ikar shimush of the fruit. And we don't have to reckon with it. That's not going to give the a stalk a din of yad. It's not really serving as food, as a real shimush. And you could just ignore it. It doesn't have chashivas, as though fruit's not here, and certainly the stalk is not serving it. So apparently it's machlokes tanoim. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Abba. Let's go down the line. Rabbi Abba was the first shita, who said, Boitzer legas, because the branch is going to absorb your wine. In that case, certainly the yad is not part of the equation. You don't even want him here. Whereas by Kaitzer leschach, since you still want them connected, you want the stalk with the grain because it's going to keep it weighted. Therefore, it has the din of yad. So Rabbi Abba vade tanoi. According to him, you certainly have to say it's a machlokes tanoim. Rabbi Abba, who holds that even koytel l'schach has yad, is following shitas acherim, who hold that not only is the edible portion itself pasul v'schach, but even the yad itself is pasul v'schach. Whereas Tanakama maintains, it loses its yad status. So apparently it is a machlokes tanoim. However, the Rabbi Menashe bar Gada, according to the second shita, Rabbi Menashe, who said that even koytel l'schach doesn't have a din of yad, do you really have to say that's machlokes tanoim? Or perhaps you can get around it. Amalach Rav Menashe. Rav Menashe will respond, no. All agree that in my case, there's no din of yad. If you really would have harvested these stalks for schach use, of course there's no din yad. Because you don't use kernels for schach. The stalk is not serving the kernel in this capacity. That's pashut. So what then is the machlokes tanoim in the rice that we just mentioned? Vachmai skinner, you know what we're speaking about here? A unique case. Kigoyin shesh koytis al achila. He picked it for consumption, to eat it. In which case, the edible portion has chashivas. That's the prime ingredient here, right? The yad is serving the fruit, is serving the kernel. That was initially. Then he changed his mind. He redesignated it for sichach, for schach. In which case we say, yeah, since initially it was done for achila purposes, and it attained a yad status at that point, achira maintain that it no longer can lose that yad status. Once it acquires it, it doesn't get revoked. So if that's the case, then how do we understand the Tanakama, who holds that there's no yad? If the tzitza, if the harvesting was for achila purposes, then why would the Rabbanan say there's no yad here? The stalk is serving the kernel, the branch, the fruit. Perhaps the Rabbanan will maintain that kivan denim lachalein l'sichach, once he changed his mind and redesignated these materials for sichach, in which case he doesn't need the food portion. But le'machshavta, the initial intent, the initial kavana, gets cancelled. So since the material gets redesignated for schach, in which case the food no longer plays a role, the yad concept gets revoked. Says the Gemara, umi batla le'machshava b'achi. Can you go ahead and cancel an initial machshava, an initial designation, simply by redesignation? You can't do that. The current machshava doesn't have the ability to undo, to revoke the previous machshava. Vatnan, kol hakelim. You're dealing with a two machshava. A kli can attain a tumah capacity, becomes susceptible to tumah, simply through machshava, through designation. He decided, okay, I'm done with this kli. I'm not going to carve it any further. This is roi for my use. Then it becomes roi l'kabal tumah. It's called gemar malacha. So mental designation is enough. However, once it acquires that capability, it no longer loses it. Unless you do a masa to undo it. It can't leave the tumah capability. Unless you do a shina, another masa to undo it. For instance, you have a sheet of hide. And you fixed it up and you decided, you know what, I'm going to use it as a tablecloth or as a mat. It's considered Gemar Malacha, it's Mekabel Tumah. Then he changes his mind. I'm going to use it for straps. Unless he actually does a masa to indicate as such. For instance, he puts the knife through it and begins slicing it into strips. Merely by designation, by redefining its purpose, that won't change its status. Only through a shini mas. A mas is powerful and can undo the previous designation. And as the Mishnah concludes, mas amoitzi miyad mas. The current mas can undo a previous mas. Umiyad machshava, or from a previous machshava. However, machshava, just a simple thought, a simple machshava, a redesignation, cannot undo a previous masa or even a previous machshava. So how can we say that simply redesignating the food material for schach use will change its status and will revoke its yadois status? You can't say that. Machshava can't do that. The chitema says the one. Perhaps you'll say it's a difference. Hani milikelim dechashivi. The actual utensil itself, which is chashev, which is inherently valuable, that can't be changed simply by machshava. So once it becomes mekabel tumah, you can't revoke that status simply by redesignation. Aval yadeis l'tzor hachila ninu. But when it comes to handles, yadeis, which aren't really chashev on their own, their value is not inherent. It's l'tzor hachila ninu. It's only on account of the fact that they're helping. They're supplemental factors. They're helping the eichel. They're allowing you access. They're allowing you convenient handling of the food. So since it's not an inherent value, machshava nas, machshava salka, perhaps it's easier to bring about and to remove its tumah designation. And therefore by us, although initially he cut this stalk for the sake of achila, in which case it had a yad, but now he changed his mind. And that revoked its yad status, and that's a pshat in the Tanakhama. Is that so? That's none. We learned in the Mishnah. Kol yodos ha'ichlan. All the yodos of foods. She basasan begurn. He did some sort of basasan process, which we're going to see exactly what this means soon. Tohiros, at that point it loses its yad status. It's no longer mekabel tumah. Rabbi Yossi Metami maintains that it retains its yad status even after basasan. Now, what does basasan mean? We have two pshat. Bishlemi lemand omer basasan. According to the Shita, who says that basasan means hitir agudan. He has bundles of grain, of stalks, and he untied the bundle. In which case, he demonstrated, that he no longer needs those stalks. Right? It's in his threshing floor, it's in the garden. He's no longer going to transport these kernels by way of their stalks. Stalks are no longer functioning. So simply demonstrating intent. It's not really a mass, it's not really a change, it's not really doing a shinui in the stalks, it's just untying them. That is sufficient to revoke their yad status because they're no longer serving the kernels. No longer needs those stalks. David Tanakama says, those yadayis ha'ichlam shebasasan, right, the untied, Rashi says, mispeseses b'mayich, just let it get messed up. Right? That's enough to revoke its yad status. That's simply a machshava, it's an intent, it's a show of intent. So we see that redesignation is enough to revoke the yad status. Okay, so according to that shita shapir, we understand the Tanakama of our brisa as well. Although initially he was koitzitz that food la'achila, in which case it had yadayis, but now they redesignated it for schach use, that itself cancels the yad status. El madamar mein basasan basasan mamish. But according to the other pshat, who maintains that the word basasan means mamish, crushed them, softened them. In which case he began loosening, like separating the stalk from the grain, from the kernel part. In which case it's a real mice, and only that can go ahead and revoke the yad status, because from this point onward the yad isn't really serving much. It's on its way out. But only then does the Mishnah maintain that it loses its yad status. Michael Lemeimar, what are you going to say now? why in our case we picked the schach la'achila and then decided to use it for schach without a ma'isa, Taisa says, just placing it on the sukkah itself apparently is not considered a shini ma'isa, not really changing the actual material. So why do you say that it loses its yad status? How do you explain this Hanakam? Hachanami, Shabbos and Mamish. Apparently here as well, he actually crushed it a bit. In which case, he demonstrated his lack of interest in that food-yad connection. So the yad is no longer serving the food. In which case, Tanakami maintains that it's tahor. Says the Gemara, Yehochi, my tamayu da'achir. Now that you explained the Tanakama so well, what's a pshat na'achir? That even after crushing them and showing his lack of interest in that food because he needs it for schach, all he needs is an edible portion. Why do they maintain that the inedible portion is still serving the food? It's still a yad. So it's like, well, the amak Rabbi Yosi. Apparently, Achirim hold like Rabbi Yosi. The Rabbi Yosi that we just mentioned in this most recent Mishnah. That's not Rabbi Yosi Matami. Even after a physical act, it's still considered a yad. So how could you compare the two things? Hi, my. How do you compare this? Bishlai Mahasam. We understand over there in the case of the granary, time of the Rabbi Yosi, why does Rabbi Yosi hold that it's still considered a yad, even after crushing? Chazio, look at Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, because it's still somewhat suitable. The stalks are still serving a purpose. The Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, these stalks are still serving a purpose. Atar is a pitchfork. When he has to go and turn over his grain inside his granary on that threshing floor, it's easier to do it when the kernels are still attached to their stalks. So it makes for easy and convenient transporting. So although stalks and kernels are sort of starting to separate, but while they're still connected, they're serving a purpose. So Rashi maintains, despite the fact that they did a mass of crushing, they're still considered yadis and still retain their yad status. As opposed to the case of schach, why would he need these stalks connected to the kernels? What service, what function are the yadis doing? Says the Gemara, Chazya is still serving a function. L'chisasa, because after Sukkot, when he takes apart his schach, l'minkat l'hu b'gilayu, he'll be able to grab hold of the kernels by way of their stalks. Instead of having to pick out kernels from all over the place, so he has these stalks still connected to the kernels. Well, he doesn't really need the kernels for schach, the pasul of schach, but he's pleased with the fact that the kernel is still connected to the stalks, which allows for easy access. Okay, so in conclusion, we had a braisa with two shittos regarding the status of a yad by schach. Do we say that just as the fruit is not ready for schach, so too the yad portion as well? Or do we say that when it comes to schach, the food portion isn't really a player in the equation, because it's possible schach. So the yad isn't really serving that fruit, it's not really considered serving the same function as a fruit, and it doesn't have to. We have three ways to explain the braisa. A simple way was, machlokes is whether koytel l'schach has yadis. Then we had another two pshatim that was speaking in a case where he was koytel l'achila, changes his mind, wants it for sichuch. Two ways that could have happened, either through redesignation, through machshava. The question is whether machshava is enough to change the status when it comes to yadis, which aren't really inherently valuable. And the second pshat was speaking that he did a masa to indicate his disinterest in the food stalk connection. And the machlokes is whether we say that it loses its yad status, or do we say still he still has some hanaf on the fact that the stalk is still connected to the kernel, which allows him to clean it up easily, in which case it still retains its yad status. Okay, so let's just summarize this Amud of Gemara. We spoke about the halacha of yadis, in which case we say not only does the food portion itself have Kabbalah's tumah, the portion next to the food, which is used to handle the food, to transport the food, is also considered a mekabel tumah. That's typically. What about in the case of Beitzel Lagas? He harvested his grapes in order to bring them to the wine press. All agree. The branch is just getting in his way, and they no longer have any value. He doesn't want them connected to his grapes, and they're not makabel tuma. Whereas by Kaitzel L'Schach, we have a discussion. Rav Nashi maintains there as well. There's no kabbalah tuma by the yad because the food portion isn't really part of the equation. It's actually possible for schach. So we don't see it as a yad serving that food portion. They're not serving a common goal. The food portion is not really reckoned with here, and therefore the yad is no longer a yad. It's not makabel tuma, and it's kasher for schach. Rabbi Abba held kotel schach is different than boitzel lagas. In this case, he still wants the food portion there to keep his stalks in place, to weigh him down. And Rav Abba maintains, I follow like Shita Sachir. Shita Sachir and the Braisa who maintain that Koitzel Schach still has Yadis. So we had a Braisa with a Shita of a Tanakama who maintained that Schach has no Yadis. Achir maintained there are Yadis by Schach as well. Rabbi Abba learned very simply. He was Koitzel Schach. According to Tanakama, there's no Yadis because there's really the food portion and there's no Yadis in that case. According to Achir, he still wants the food portion there as well to keep the stalks down, in which case the yadis are still connected to the food, still considered a handle of that food. Rav Menashe learned differently. He says, if it's koitzel l'schach, of course there's no yadis. We're speaking that it was koitzel l'achid, and then he changed his mind, decided to use it for schach. Oh. Now, there are two ways to interpret this, Bryce. Either it was merely a redesignation, b'machshav. Tanakama maintains, this latest machshav is mevatel, the tumah capacity, which descended upon those yadis earlier. This is unique to yadis, although by clay you can't just redesignate machshava, but a yad, which isn't really chashav on its own. So redesignating it, redefining its purpose and goal, affects its status. Whereas Acher maintains, no. Once the yad acquired kabbalah's tumah, it no longer loses that status, even if it redefines and redesignates its function and purpose. So according to them, yad is no different than kli in this respect. An alternate pshat in this brisa would be that he redesignated it through masa, by threshing, by crushing, which actually changed the form of the material as well. In which case, Tanakama maintains, it's no longer a yad because it's not serving the eichel. He wants it separated, and he demonstrated as such by crushing it. Whereas Acher maintained, it still has a din of yad because the yad is still serving a purpose. When he takes apart his sukkah, he's going to be able to grab onto the oichel portion through the yadis, in which case we say the yad is still there and still serving a purpose and a function, and is makabel tuma. Okay, let's just recap the main points of today's sukkah. We're not meant to use bundles for schach, as gzeiras oitzer might lead to using bundles which were placed for drying and storage. However, a bundle is only something which was bundled together bidei adam. If it contains several units within it, either 3 or 25, it's bundled for the sake of safekeeping, and it's something that can be transported in its bundled form. Those thin, flimsy vegetables, which are kashif for murr, are not considered a proper oil because they're going to dry up and disintegrate, and they're considered like avir, which is pasul once it has 3 tefachim in a sukkah. We learned that Beitzer Lagas has no Yadois, Koitzel Eschach, we have a Machlekes. Kol Tov to you and Hatzlacha Rabba.